Volcats, Pashas, Okra.
Good morning. Pesach is coming nearer and nearer, and therefore we should get ourselves into the spirit of this very special time, a time of Nisim v'Neflois, wondrous things that are Mischadesh, a time of great spiritual revelation that is renewed every year. And I'd like to share some insight based on the writings of Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Pachad Yitzchok. And let's start with the following comment. You know, we say the bracha Asher Yotzar. We say Asher Yotzar, we describe how Hashem has healed our bodies, He keeps us healthy, He allows us to remove the waste matter that would otherwise poison us. And we end off with Roifei Chol Bosor Umafli La'asois. Hashem does wondrous deeds. It's a pele. This is a wondrous thing. And the Mefarshim discuss what the great wonder is about this particular bracha more than any other. What is the great pele, the wonder that we're focusing on at this time? What is the wonder? Now, the Ramah explains that pele is as follows. Pele is where you have two things that have absolutely no shaychus to each other, no possible connection, and yet they live, they coexist. Not only do they coexist, they depend on each other. They are intimately bound up together. That is a pele. And in this context, the pele is, you have an neshama, which is ruchni, it's totally spiritual. It has no connection to anything physical. And yet, it depends on gashmi, it depends on the body, it lives with the body. So the pele is, how can you combine two such opposites? The spiritual, the neshama, the ruchnius, with the guf, with the physical. How do you combine them? How is it possible that they depend so intimately on each other that the moment of the death of the body is where the neshama departs? Why does the neshama depend on a beating heart? Why does it depend on it? Why does it only find its fulfillment in this world through being combined with it? How does it work? That is a pele. The combination, the combining of ruchnius and gashmius, that is the pele. That's a moment of pele. In other words, the Ramah says, if you were to study the physical world, you'd be impressed with Hashem. You're impressed with Hashem. You're impressed with the architect and the designer of the physical world. And if you look at the spiritual world, you'll also be impressed with Hashem. It's a very impressive thing, all those spiritual things which we have no concept of. But even greater than all of those, separately, is the combination of them. The point of combination between the spiritual and the physical, that is Pele. And that's Asher Yotzar. We live, we're not just a body, we're a guf as well. And that connection, that the neshama depends on such lowly connections with such a lowly creature, that is the mafli lasos, that is the Pele. So if we try to zoom in on this pele, this point of connection between the spirit and the body, between the ruchnis and the gashmias, where is that point, the finest point of connection, or where is the ultimate point of connection, where is the real expression of the connection between the ruchnis and the gashmias? What is the ultimate expression of it? And Chazal say, the ultimate expression of the fact that the Ruchni has connected and combined itself with the Gashmi is in that which we speak. There came a point in the Bria where this clod of earth this flesh and blood thing became a living, sentient neshama, became a vehicle for the neshama. And there the Targum says, "Vayehi ha'odam leruach memalelo," that this spirit became speakable. So if we study all the koichos of the person, and we want to know which one expresses most, that is a most refined, ultimate expression of that which we are combined of Ruchnius and Gashmius, it is in that which we speak. Our speech is the marker of the combination between Ruchnius and Gashmius. That is the point of connection. So the Maharal says, who couldn't speak? Who is there who couldn't speak? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. It's a Pella. Is Aral Sufasayin? Okay, he couldn't speak. He wasn't a speaker, which is an important thing. In itself, it's important, because not everyone who can speak is a leader, and not everybody who leads needs to be able to speak. That's an important thing, by the way. It wasn't because he was charismatic, says Rav Hirsch, that everybody followed him. He didn't have that touch of the sprach where he could speak like, okay, fine. If he were to come here, we probably wouldn't be able to sit through a drasha of his. Although they do say that when he spoke the word of Hashem, the Torah, that it came out because it was the Shekhinah Medaberes and so on. But naturally he couldn't speak, and the question is why. It's a mum. It's a defect. How can this perfect person be possessed of such a blemish? Why is that? And the Maharal says, because the speech comes from the Ruchnius being connected to the Gashmius, and with Moshe Rabbeinu, he was mostly Ruchni. He was more spiritual than physical. He was so elevated that the connection between his spiritual, his Ruchnius, and his Gashmius was very weak, was very tenuous, and therefore his speech, as a result of that, was lacking in some way, not as a mum, but as a sign, as an expression of the fact that his neshama was barely in connection with his body, because he was so much, so ruchni, and so elevated above the physical. Therefore, his expression of the connection between the two was limited. Okay.
He would still have been able to do a void if he was a
clear. Yes, yes. There wasn't a mum in that way, but it lacks in the perfection we would expect of someone. Like, yeah?
I never understood they say that when he spoke to class, when he was a bigger writer, that showed it was from Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Yeah.
Could be Kishuv.
Okay. I don't know. I can't answer that on the spot. I don't know. Chazal say this. When a child is about to be born, what does the Malach do? Give him a slap on his cheek, lips, taps him on the lip. I don't think they mean this mark over here is... I don't think that's what Chazal mean. It's something to do with the Malach tapping you on the lip. But either way, the Malach taps him on his lip, and what happens when the Malach taps him on his lips? He forgets the whole Torah. So what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this? That he gets a tap on his lip, and then he's born, and this tap of the lip, which is just as he's about to be born, he's a tap on his lips, and that makes him forget the whole Torah. What's the meaning of this? So Makeh, where do we find the expression Makeh as meaning the completion of something? The final touch that makes something perfect. Yes, Makeh Bepatish. Makeh Bepatish. So this Makeh over here is not a punishment or a painful slap. It is, it means that as the child is about to be born, he is given something which is his final completion. This is the last detail, the final touch, and that is his lips. He's given a mouth. He's given the ability to speak, which means that as the child develops in the womb, the neshama gets more and more bound up with the body. It's more and more close and more intertwined with the body. And the final touch of that is that it becomes so much part of the body that now the Ruach Mamalalo comes, that's its Makeh Bepatish. So why does that involve forgetting the whole Torah? And the answer is because Ruchnius is not forgetting. There's no forgetting. There's no degrading of things that are pure Ruchni. The only thing that degrades is Gashmius. Gashmius degrades. It dies. It withers away. So when Ruchnius comes into contact with Gashmius, on the one hand, it elevates the Gashmius, but it degrades the Ruchnius. It's a downgrading of the Ruchnias. So for whatever reason, Hashem wants us to live with the Ruchnias through the Gashmias, but it degrades it, it clouds it over. So the Neshama elevates the Guf such that the Guf now becomes a speaker. It can now express intelligence. It's combined, but it's a clouding over. And therefore, that very moment where the Guf and the Neshama combine, and they create this Dibur, that also clouds over the Ruchnias. And whatever Torah there is becomes degraded as well, becomes forgotten, until the child then goes and learns it and creates it all over again. Okay? Good. Pele. That's Pele. Pele is Aleph. Pele is Aleph. Backwards. It's the same letter. Because from the first Aleph, the first sound that a child makes, and usually it is an R sound, Aleph, from there already, in that first sound, you can see the koyach of the neshama working away. No amount of barking from a dog or wailing from a bird reveals a neshama, but from the most simple sound that a child makes, you can already see in that the koyach of a spirit, of a neshama there. You see the intelligence, you see things in there that are ruchnius much more, the potential is all there. Isn't it interesting that the very place where we live off is our mouth? We live from our mouth, we put food in our mouth, is also the place of ruach, of where we speak, which is the expression of the ruchnius in the person. Because they're one and the same, because that is the point of connection. The connection, the pele, is that they're connected. That point of connection is seen in that which we speak. And therefore it is also the source, the place, where we, the physical lives as well, where our mouths take in all that food. Interesting, the letter pe, which is pear, what's inside a pe? The base. A letter base hides inside the pe. That's an interesting thing. When you look in a Sefer Torah, not in the way we have it printed in the Chumashim, but in a Sefer Torah, it's halacha that the white of the letter pe is drawn, the black is drawn such that the white looks like a letter base. Even to the little tag there on the inside of it is a letter base. Now, base means inside. So it's not just a play on words, that a pe, base, inside. Bayis is inside, a home is the inside. Mi bayis or mi chutz, inside and out. So why is the base inside the pay? Why of all the letters does a base inside hide in a pay? Why? Because when a person speaks, by the way they speak, by the things they speak about, by the words they use, you get to learn so much about the essence of the person, what's inside them. So the pay, the pele, the connection between the Ruchni and the Gashmi, that mouth, is a very rich source of information, of insight into what's inside that person. Because the elevated Neshama cannot say things that a lesser spirit would be able to say. It just cannot get the words out of its mouth. Its mouth is blocked for certain things. And the subjects under discussion and the way they're spoken about, the refinement of the expression, all of these, this pei, this pele, is base. It reveals what goes on inside. I remember one time I went to take a teacher training course. I didn't actually go anywhere, but there was a series of videos that I watched from a teacher trainer talking about classroom management and how to run the whole show. This teacher trainer was an American, Chinese-American. That's how he described himself. And he was giving his 40 years of classroom experience over to an auditorium full of hundreds of teachers. And this was a several-day course, several days of instruction, and I was watching the videos at the end of it all. And it's very interesting. You know, whenever you speak for any length of time to people, you have to inject a bit of humor into it. Otherwise, people fall asleep. Even if the toichen is good, you've got to grease the wheels, you've got to keep people away, you've got to say humor, you say some humor. Okay, Pesach, how's the Chazal say? B'milsa b'chusa, you've got to say things that wake people up. Now, teaching is still a white collar profession. It's a dignified profession. It's not a. You can sign passports. It's considered a. Used to be anyway. Maybe it still just about is. But it's still a dignified profession. So what does a dignified experience, you know, 40 years experience in this profession, joke about to people who are part of this white collar profession? What do they joke about? The least of those jokes, if I were to say it here or anywhere, you wouldn't talk to me again. You'd throw me out. The least of them. And that's the pay. The pair reveals what's base, what's inside the person. And that's the power of the connection between the Rukhni and the Gashmi, which is expressed and shown by the Dibur, that which we speak, to reveal what that Rukhni is. And therefore Chazal say basis for Bina. Aluf Bina. Bina, a person should be very careful only to speak wisely, because you preserve, you influence your inside by the way you speak as well. You create your inside by the way you speak. And that's the significance of the pay and the base. We find that there is a unique koyach of Dibur. Dibur is very powerful. Speech is powerful. The tongue has more muscle in it, I think, than any other limb in the body for its size. I mean, even not for its size, it is comprised of, I don't know how much muscle, but it is a very, very powerful, powerful limb in the body with its muscle mass. Where do we find a unique koyach? Besides for what we are aware of, the power of speech, we know it's powerful. We know that you can say things and build people and destroy them. We know all of that. We've all experienced it in some way or other. Somehow we've been the object of what people say, and negative things, positive things. We've all experienced these things, and we know how we can how powerful speech is. But we find an extra power of speech in the word in Bechira. The tongue has more Bechira than anything else. It's an interesting thing that if I want to go and hit someone, let's say, Rachmanis, I want to go and hit somebody. So I have Bechira, but that person also has a certain Ashkocha around them. It's not totally up to me. Let's say I want to do a mitzvah. I want to go give tzedakah. Well, maybe I'll have left my purse at home. Maybe the person won't be there. Maybe all sorts of other things. So with every action I take, even if it's with my Bechira, the Bechira is somewhat limited because the other person, the other circumstances also have a Hashkocha. There's also Bechira there that I may not be able to express the fullness of my Bechira in any action I take. But when it comes to the tongue, Chazal say there's a special power of Bechira more than any other. And it stands to reason, because the tongue is the greatest expression in the body of that which is spiritual, and therefore the power of its Bechira is much greater than anything else. So for example, Chazal say, the Gemara says, Moves v'chayim b'yad haloshen, Moves v'chayim, life and death in the tongue. Chazal say in the name of Hashem, Mikol hatzoris ani matzilcha, I can save you from all sorts of tzoris. Avol mi ba loshen hora, ato hat mein etzatzmecha. When it comes to people who speak loshen hora, even Hashem kaviyochel is limited in how he can protect people, because there's such a power of Bechira in the tongue. To do damage, to destroy things, because that is the hashloma, that is the shleimus of the Odom is in the mouth, and therefore the koyach of Bechira is so much more powerful in the damage, in that which a tongue can achieve, much, much, much more than any other. That's the power of the Loshen of the tongue. That's the power of the Ruchni created, associated with the Gashmi. Let's develop that, and let's take it a little bit further. So what's this got to do with Pesach? Why has any of this got to do with Pesach? Sorry? Pesach. Not because you pay Pesach, which you do, but Pesach, the Sforim say, the mouth has to talk. And it's a time of Shira, of Shira, where we sing Shira. In fact, the Shira of this time is unique. The Nevi'im talk about it, Yeshaya Novi says, Kaleilis Chadesh Chog. The Shira that is said at this time is something very, very special. Why is that? And the answer is because Pesach is a time of a unique pele, of a unique wondrous thing, of a unique connection between Ruchnius and Gashmius. Any connection between Ruchni and Gashmi is pele. But Pesach has a very unique pele, and that is like this. Olam Hazeh runs on the principle of Bechira, which means that you're always bound to see Rasha v'Tovloi. You are bound to see that in the world. At least the appearance of. I say appearance of it, because it's almost never actually the case that Rishoyim have it Tov. It's an appearance. It's superficial. Rishoyim generally do not live good lives, even if they drive in fancy cars and live. Person who is genuinely a Rosh, who is bad to other people, by and large they do not live good lives, and it's an important thing to understand that generally speaking it's not so, even if it looks like it. And the Tzadik v'Tovloi, by and large, Tzadik v'Ra'alai is almost always rarely Tzadik, actually Tzadik v'Ra'alai, not because we choshesh is not a Tzadik, but because rarely is it actually Ra'alai in an unusual sense. It's rarely the case. Almost never do we actually. But there's an appearance of it anyway. So the normal hanhaga, the normal way of life in the world as it is now, is Rosha v'Tovloi. It's Rosha. He has a good life. Olam Haba is the opposite. It's Tzadik v'Tovloi, Rosha v'Ra'alai. It's all clear. It's all dealt with. The Tzadik is good. The Rosha is bad. It's finished. But Mapaloson shel Rishoyim, on those moments when we see, even in this life, even here, Rishoyim being dealt with as they are supposed to be dealt with in front of us, that is a unique expression of Ruchnius in the Gashmius. That is a Pella. It's a moment of revelation of Ruchnius within the Gashmius. That's a Pella. So Yetzias Mitzrayim stands as the first and perhaps the greatest expression of Pele, where the Ruchnius is revealed in the Gashmias, where the Mitzri got what he deserved. And every Mitzri got precisely what they deserved, and you could see the Hashkacha in that. You can witness it. And therefore, Pesach is a unique moment of the revelation of the feeling of the power of the Ruchnius, expressed in the Gashmias very, very openly. And that's the Mapalos on Shal Roshoyim. So why do we have to have Shira when the Rosha falls? Why is Shira the what comes? And the answer is, says Rav Huttner, because Shira is an overflowing of the power of the mouth. It flows out. The mouth doesn't stop. It flows out, the joy. It overflows in song and in words that you have to talk and you say and you express. When a person goes through a Yeshua, has a great Yeshua, he speaks about it, he's happy to talk about it, there's lots to say. So that Pele of the mouth, which is the Kesher of the Ruchni and the Gashmi, the connection between Ruchnius and Gashmias, works hardest when in the world there's a connection between Ruchnius and Gashmias visible. And therefore, Pesach is Pesach, because Pesach is a time where the Ruchnius is revealed, it's experienced, it was seen openly, and we can still experience that power of that Ruchnius, even today, when we work correctly on Pesach, and we throw ourselves into the Avodah, and to fulfilling the mitzvahs, and to speaking, and to experiencing it, that power of Ruchnius is visible and available to all people. And that is why Shira, it comes on Mapaloson Shel Rishoyim. The mouth, which is the Pele, speaks over time when there is the Pele in the world, and that's the Pesach. And that brings us to the end of the main Inyan that I wanted to speak about. And I'll share a total new subject now. It's very interesting. I came across this just over Shabbos, and I wrote it up, and I thought, if I finish early, I'll say this. It's very, very beautiful. It's interesting that we find, in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim, we find two animals mentioned. What are the two animals mentioned?
Dog.
The dog is the first one, and?
Sheep.
Well, there's the sheep and the chamor, the donkey. The dog is a very interesting one, isn't it? Lo yechras kelel v'shoinoi. What's the meaning of the dog? Bechlau, the dog is fascinating. Why the people love the dog so much. I say the Umas HaOlam love the dog so much. This is a very interesting thing. And I wondered about it, and I came across, Rav Huttner made a comment, and I looked into it, and the Maharal says a bunch of things. I'll share this idea with you now. Chazal described the dog as the lowest amongst the animals. Now, when Chazal talk about the animals, they mean the domesticated animals. The animals that live amongst human beings are all functional to humans. The animals that live in the wild, the chayos, which we're meant to stand and look at from afar, they don't live amongst us. So they're not for us. But the ones that live amongst us must have a shaychus to us. So cows have a shaychus to us. Sheep have a shaychus. Cats also do, because they clear the rodents away. So the cat is a useful animal amongst us. Very good. So which other animals live amongst us? Chickens. Birds live amongst us as well. So they all have a function. They clear the parasites. So what does the dog do? Question is, what does the dog do? And the answer is, it does nothing. It has no positive function directly to... Sorry? It's a guard dog. I'm coming to the guards. So, it's man's best friend, but it doesn't fulfill a function like any other animal does. And therefore, Chazal say, it is unique, it's shofal, and it's also an oni, it's poor. Because whereas all the other animals, they find their food, a dog can't find its own food. It needs to be fed by humans. It doesn't hunt. It doesn't kill other animals. It doesn't do that. It's fed, or it scavenges off human waste. Whereas all the other animals, they find their food. So it's an oni and it's a shuffle. It has no real place over here. Why does it bark so much, says the Maharal? Because it is a baal chisoron. It is something which is lacking. And where there's chisoron, there's wailing and noise, and which is why the dog specifically feels the presence of the malach amoves, which is chisoron like it. It always comes lacking, taking away, something empty, and that's why it wails and barks a lot. But it has a very unique tichuna. Hashem created the dog with a very unique tichuna, and that is, it is very close to man. Very close to man. Man's best friend, as they say. Kolev, kelev, kolalev. It is fully full of heart, full of nefesh, in its ability to live with people, to be amongst people. It's very expressive emotionally to people. Very interesting creature, very interesting. And yet Chazal say that the tchunas hanefesh of the dog is it's an azponim, it's azos. Why is it? What is the azos of the dog? So the pashtus, you say the dog's azos is that it barks a lot. But Rav Utna says that's not. He says the azos of the dog is not in that it barks, but that it pushes itself into a place where it doesn't belong. Because a dog does not belong amongst humans. It's not an equal to humans. It's not similar to us. It has no connection to humans. And yet it pushes itself in. This is my home. I live amongst you. I'm your friend. And there is that tchuna there. That is its azos. It doesn't even belong here. It's no shaychus. And yet it behaves almost as if it's a human. It protects human beings like it's a human. It protects humans like humans protect humans. It's loyal to humans more than any other animal, as if it were a human. It is the sheepdog, the one that rounds up all the other animals, like it were above them, like it's a human. It barks at human beings. No other animal, if you're not invading it, barks at a human being. And if you leave them alone, you go about your own business. They don't bark at you. It barks at you as if you're saying hello to you. We're connected. The azus of this tchuna is that it pushes itself into places where it actually doesn't belong. That is the demus, the tchuna of feeling comfortable in circles where you actually have no place. You're not really there. And therefore... But the people who their ruchnius is lacking feel very comfortable with the dog because they don't really belong down there. To be unspiritual is not the place of the human. The human is a spiritual entity. To live a totally physical, empty of ruchnius existence means to live in a place where you don't belong. To feel comfortable in circumstances and surroundings that are not really your place. A little bit like the prince living in a hovel. That's the moshel of the Mesel Sisharim. You don't belong here. And therefore people who have lost their ruchnius and have no connection to it, they're very comfortable with an animal like that. Because that is its tachuna, to feel comfortable as letzad hatoiv, sort of above it, where you don't belong. And I say, I suggest it's Bahashkocha, that dog is lehepuch of God. Because a person either feels comfortable with God, he doesn't feel comfortable doesn't feel friends with the animal. And there, a person who feels friends with a dog, it's because he's lost his spiritual connection to God. It's interesting, I'm sure that's Bahashkocha. And therefore, lo yacharat kelev l'shoinoi. Why is the dog associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim? And in what sense is it associated there? So Rav Hutna says now, he says, because the dog not barking at the human means the dog recognizes that this is something above it. This is something where even I know I have no place here anymore. And on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the hischadshus, the refreshing of the spiritual nature of Klal Yisrael, is such that even this dog knows it has no place, no connection over here. That's the spiritually elevated nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to raise up the person, that it is totally above the gashmias of the world, the physicality of the world, to rise up above, that even the dog won't bark because it knows it has no place, it has no space. And therefore, the Pesach is a time of very, very powerful spiritual revelation. His chadshus, it's pele, it's a wondrous thing. If we connect to it, it can give us a great boost in our ruchnias for a long, long time. And it certainly has the power for a person to elevate themselves, to give themselves a chizuk, and azus dikedusha. Just like the dog pushes itself where it doesn't belong, that tchunas hanefesh, kolev ben yifuna, is to push yourself up for ruchnias, to push yourself to, even if you don't actually belong there, to give yourself a shove and to try and achieve things that you might not otherwise want to achieve or feel you should be achieving. But it's a time for a great chizuk in our ruchnias, and mitzvah Hashem, we should use the time correctly. Yeah, chamor another time.
Rav Haima,